Well, welcome, Northgate folk. This is Miles, the lead pastor at Northgate again, bringing our kind of, I guess, our second message in earnest about the spiritual gifts. And just want to catch you up very briefly on what we did last time. This would have been Wednesday, just 2 days ago. We talked about the kind of how we receive our spiritual gifts kind of as we are drafted by the general manager for Team Jesus, right? And we called that the Holy Spirit. And we said that the beautiful part of being the Holy Spirit is that when you draft people to your team, you kind of have these miraculous pills that you can just give to people that kind of develop whatever it is those skills need to be to make that team really successful. And so if you need to be really strong, the Holy Spirit has that thing to give you strength, and he has that thing to give you speed or agility or toughness or whatever it is you need. And we talked a little bit about not being people who reject the gift that God has given us. Right, and we also defined what a spiritual gift is. And here's my definition. You can find 1,000 different definitions, but here's the one that I've come up with. It's a special ability or abilities that are given by the Holy Spirit intentionally to you for the building up of the body and the expansion of the kingdom. And I said last time, make sure that you keep this kind of front and center in your mind. We never want to think that the spiritual gifts are given to me for me, but they are rather given intentionally, not randomly by the Holy Spirit, but given to me with his intentions and purpose so that the body of Christ, the other believers, our brothers and sisters, might be encouraged, strengthened, and that the expanding kingdom would continue to be also strengthened and encouraged. And so today, I want to talk a little bit before I get into our real topic, which is how do we identify what our gifts are and how do we develop them? Before we get into that, I want to talk about Uncle Jimmy. This is Uncle Jimmy. Everybody has an Uncle Jimmy in their family somewhere. He might be Aunt Jenny. I don't know. It could be a cousin, could be a brother, it might be your mom, dad. But everybody's got Uncle Jimmy. This is the guy who is like 50, still lives in grandma's basement. He's like really only known for like the amount of chicken wings he can eat and how good he is at Madden. If you look around your family and you don't see an Uncle Jimmy, check yourself, because I really think every family has one, and you might be that person. I don't know you. I don't even know who's listening. But it could be you, and you want to be discerning about this, right? But every family's got Uncle Jimmy. Now, what's interesting is Grandma still loves Uncle Jimmy, right? She takes care of him. She doesn't really charge him rent because he doesn't have a job that he can keep. And it's not that he's incapable. He's just kind of lazy. He just doesn't want to get in the game. He would rather wake up and play Madden and eat chicken wings than have that, you know, 8-hour detour in the middle of the day where he can't do those things where he's making money. Now, Uncle Jimmy, the reason that there's some tension between he and Grandma is not just that Uncle Jimmy's not contributing, but it's that Uncle Jimmy really was like a person with some potential, that this is not the life that Grandma had seen when Jimmy was young. This was not what she had planned. Right? She's not that upset that she's paying for his phone still, but she is upset because this just is not the best life that Jimmy could be living. He was once wise and vibrant and alive and bright, but now he just seems kind of complacent, willing to just sit on the sideline and not participate in things that could give him value and dignity. And this is what I think Granny and Jesus and I all think, is that when we are contributing to something, when we are a part of something larger than ourselves, that actually makes us feel more alive and more valued. It adds dignity to our lives. And when we are alive and full of life and passion and spirit, we are then able to kind of project that into other people. It's really difficult to encourage somebody when you're in crisis. It's really hard to make somebody else feel alive if you yourself are just barely with it. And so when we are the people who are able to sort of see that our cup is full, then it's easy for us to spill out onto other people. But if we're walking around with an empty cup, it's real hard to fill anybody up. Now, I don't want you to get this twisted. I'm not saying that the reason we have these gifts is so we can accomplish, right? This isn't capitalism. This is Jesus. I'm not saying that you have to work harder and stronger. What I am saying is that God has gifted you, he's gifted Uncle Jimmy with an ability to work, with an ability to impact and contribute to other people's lives and the goodness and the passion that they live out. And if we are able to contribute in the building of the family of God, man, is there a more noble thing that we can do than to strengthen the spirits of our brothers and sisters? And folks, this is why we get these spiritual gifts, so that we can love and encourage other people. We don't want to reject our gift. Now, here's a kind of a general way that spiritual gifts work. If this is new language to you, generally, you're asked to do the things that you're good at, and God resources you according to that. Right? Whatever the need is that he's hoping you fulfill, he's going to resource you with the appropriate gifts to do that, right? Not everybody can dunk and not everybody can do physics, because that would be a real boring world, right? And not a whole lot of things would get done. But honestly, who doesn't like to do the things that you're good at? You watch LeBron James play basketball. He's pretty good at basketball. And you watch him and it looks like he's enjoying himself, right? I think the things that I've been resourced to do, when I get to do them, man, there's just life and there's spirit and there's bounce in my step. I very rarely wake up on a Sunday thinking, oh man, I got to go preach. No, like I love it. That's what I do. That's what I've been equipped to do. And so generally, we are going to be equipped to do the things that we want to do. And we're going to enjoy doing those things. He doesn't very often give us things to do that we're not good at and that we're not going to be enjoying. So here's, I think, a helpful phrase. Spiritual gifts generally work like this. God relies on your gifts and he requests your openness. God relies on your gifts and he requests your openness. This is just my way of saying, look, God, it's not that he's never going to ask you to do anything that's hard. It's not that he's never going to ask you to do anything that's uncomfortable. It is not that he is not going to ask you to do something that you don't feel gifted with. Paul tells Timothy, hey, you got to go and evangelize, bro. Like, I know you don't love it. I know you've got these other gifts. I don't care. You still have to do these things once in a while. So you may be a person who is gifted in hospitality and you're wondering why sometime you might have to teach. Or maybe you're gifted in wisdom and knowledge and Uncle Jimmy comes to town and you're like, why do I have to put this mug up? I don't want to hang out with Uncle Jimmy. Sometimes you're called to do the things you don't want to do. This is God requesting your openness, your willingness to kind of be pushed outside of your comfort zone, to be willing to do the things that stretch you, not snap you. You've heard this language if you've been around Northgate for any period of time. Stretch, but don't snap. So God relies on your gifts. That's the purpose that he is trying to equip you to accomplish, but he's still going to ask you to do other things. You still got to take the garbage out, right? Nobody loves taking the garbage out. You got to do it. Now, if Uncle Jimmy were a person who had, let's just say he was really good with his hands. He was a craftsman, right? He is creative and he just does really good work. Grandma would not be pushing him to get a job at a daycare center. Grandma would say, hey, Uncle Jimmy, you should get a job at this cabinet maker's place, or you should build furniture. Or if God has equipped you to be generous, he's not likely going to push you to be a teacher. He's going to push you into roles and experiences where you can exercise your generosity, because that's what gives you life. And when you are alive, you can then pump life into other people. So here's a thing that it's important for us to all recognize. And some of you may be like, yeah, dude, I know. Even if you do, it's good for us to be reminded of this, I think, all the time. Probably a good way to start your day. Whenever we start looking in mirrors again, maybe say it to yourself in the mirror when you wake up. But remind yourself that I am equipped by God for and with a purpose. Now, I will give this caveat. If you have not yet confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are probably just equipped with a purpose. He hasn't given you all the tools yet. Now, you might have other gifts. You might be able to dunk or do physics. Those aren't really spiritual gifts. You don't get your spiritual gift until you get Jesus. But once you get Jesus, you are now equipped for and with a purpose. And that equipping comes from God. If Jesus isn't your world yet, then you're only fighting half the battle. Now, if you know this, if you believe this already, again, still worth the reminder. I do want to say I've spent all this time talking about Uncle Jimmy because I don't want somebody out there listening in wherever, Spain, Turkey, wherever you're listening. I don't want some humble, timid person that's listening to think that I'm talking just to pastors or like the super saints, right? The spiritual giants in your life, or church leaders, or somebody older than you because they're more mature and they should be doing this. Or if you're old, I don't want you to think that I'm talking to somebody younger who's got more energy and passion. I want you to understand that if you're hearing this and you love Jesus, this is for you, right? Like, you don't get to bypass this call. If you love Jesus and you have a pulse, you have been equipped by God for and with a purpose. And so we have to understand what that is, right? Being a Christian is not a spectator sport. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11, we read this. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining, just as each one has received a gift. Use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. Grace could also be translated gifts there. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is not necessarily, I want you to hear, about me drumming up more workers at Northgate. This isn't even really about me drumming up more workers in Manteca. Like, literally, people from all, I'm preaching to an empty room right now, so I have nobody in my eye line, and you might be listening from Turkey, and I'm telling you that this isn't about building up workers at Northgate. This isn't about making a reputation for me or the church, except the global church, right? So wherever you're listening, I'm saying to you that you have a purpose, and he has equipped you to accomplish it. And if you've been around Northgate at all, you also know that we talk all the time about the church not just being on Sunday morning. It's also not just at 670 Northgate Drive. It's 7 days a week. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to encourage you to say, yes, to my neighbors, I'm going to be able to exercise these gifts. To my coworkers, to my family, to my enemies, I am going to be the church. I'm going to encourage the body. I'm going to speak truth and life. So hopefully you realize in all of this, right, that you, nobody wants to be the dead wood, right? Dead wood, bad. Nobody wants to be Uncle Jimmy. The spiritual gifts, when you receive them, give you the authority and the responsibility to just get in the game, right? Grandma's not going to kick Uncle Jimmy out of her basement, and we're not going to kick you out of the church, but you're just not living your best life if you're just sitting around and watching. I mean, I did that for a while. I went to church, and it was neat. And I started doing things at church, and I love it. It gets me out of bed in the morning. So we don't want you to be Uncle Jimmy. Now, that's enough on that. I got to get to the things we're actually supposed to talk about today. I got 9 steps, right? 9 ways that you get to identify and strengthen your understanding and service through your spiritual gifts. And the first one is the only one you really can't bypass. Like, you can skip the other ones, and the other ones can kind of move around. But if you haven't come to know Jesus as both your Lord and your Savior, you got to check that one off. Like, nothing else. You can't go to step two. You can't jump over step one. Knowing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior is the thing, because it's when we receive Christ as our Savior, when we are sort of cleansed by the work of the cross, that is when we begin to find these spiritual gifts manifest themselves in our life. There are lots of things that could stand in the way. We pray against those regularly for whoever's listening that may not know Jesus yet. But here's the thing. You can't receive the gift if you don't let him in, right? If he's knocking and you don't answer the door, you're just not going to get the gift. Secondly, and this is a little bit of a review, but realize and repeat that you are equipped by God for and with a purpose. Some statistics from Barna, it's a research organization. In 1995, they asked whatever, a billion people, two people, I don't know. How many people think they don't have a spiritual gift? And it was only 4%. 4% of people that are Christians interviewed said they didn't have a spiritual gift. But by 2000, it was 21% said they didn't have a spiritual gift. I don't want you to be one of those people who thinks that you haven't received a gift. You've got it. We just need to uncover it. Realizing that you are equipped by God for and with a purpose, I think, helps keep that in focus. Number three, you've got to be praying that God reveals to you what that gift is. He wants you to find it, right? This isn't keep away. It's like a hot cold game, right? You might get close and he's going to tell you, you're getting right there, man. You're getting close. If you already know what your gifts are, they sometimes, and this will be talked about more in future sessions, but they can change, right? Like you can get different ones. You can get new ones, at least additional ones. And so like you might know what they were, but when's the last time you asked God how to be using them? So wherever you are in the continuum, I've been living out my spiritual gifts for 20 years, or I'd have no idea what they even are. Still be spending time asking God to reveal to you what your gifts might be. Number four, you got to become familiar with what the options are, right? If I ask you, you want steak or fish, you can say steak or fish. But if I ask you what you want for dinner and the whole world is open, you don't know what your choices are, right? So you got to become familiar with your options. The first place to go is your Bible. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. These are all places, 1 Peter 4, where you have kind of these lists of what the spiritual gifts are. Become familiar with those. And we're going to be walking you through this one over the next couple of weeks as we continue this series. We're going to help you kind of identify what they are and what they mean. Also, know what your particular church thinks. Again, this is one of those things, there are people all over the map on this. Some people think that we have 20, some people think we have 9, some people think we have 6, some people don't think we have any. What's your church believe? Get to know what they think. And then just spending time sort of interviewing other people. What are your gifts? How do you serve out of that? What does it look like for you to give generously? What does it look like for you to live hospitably? Number five, start serving, right? Start exploring. How good are you at jousting? You know, like you're riding on the back of a horse with a lance and a shield. How good are you at jousting or at making stained glass? Or how good are you at reading Greek? Probably you have no idea about any of these things. Maybe somebody out there knows how they are at Greek. But here's the thing. Too often we don't explore our things, like our gifts or our opportunities, and so we don't know if we're any good at it. We just wait and hope that somehow miraculously we're going to start being a really awesome teacher, even though we've never taught anybody anything. We've never put ourselves in the position to explore that gift. You got to get out there. You got to get off the field or get on the field. I remember once in eighth grade, I played basketball and I wasn't very good. I was a bench player, but we were up by a million points. And at the start of the half, they inbounded the ball to me and I dribbled like three dribbles and I launched this deep three and I nailed it. And I was looking for everybody to celebrate. And only the people on the other team were celebrating because I shot at the wrong hoop. I forgot that we had switched directions. It was awesome. It was a deep three, man. It was Reggie Miller deep. The good news is it didn't cost us the game, I don't think. I don't know. A long time ago. Don't be afraid to mess some things up. God is bigger than the degree to which you can mess things up by exploring your gifts. You're not going to ruin a church or a community by trying to teach or by trying to be encouraging or being generous or speaking words of wisdom and knowledge. You're not going to mess anything up. He's bigger than all that. You can't damage the kingdom beyond repair, right? But too often we're sort of paralyzed by, the phrase paralysis by analysis. We're paralyzed by waiting to make sure that we know what it is we're doing so we don't gum up the gears. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is bigger than that. You're not going to ruin it. Number six, where do you see gaps, right? In your context, maybe you look and it's like there's nobody speaking in tongues, there's nobody performing miracles or healing. Now don't assume that just because there's no miraculous healings that is a gift, that like that's going to be your thing. But do look, and man, if you look around your church and you say, I just don't think we're an encouraging culture, I'll bet our leaders could really use some encouragement. Man, step into that. At least, again, experiment, explore. Number seven, ask others in the body to affirm. or disaffirm, to offer counsel and direction. If you see some more experienced, more mature believers in your midst that are really good at generosity or hospitality or teaching, ask them to help you. Ask them how they practice, where they learned it, what do they do, what's it feel like. But you gotta find other people who can kind of coach you through this. Number eight, again, these are kind of interchangeable. Number eight, take an assessment. There are lots of spiritual gift assessments. I have one in a couple slides that I'll make sure I link in the comments. You can take an assessment, and it cuts a lot of the heavy lifting out, but it always has to be refiltered, right? What I would say for number nine is don't swallow the results of the assessment hook, line, and sinker. Like, well, it says that I have the gift of celibacy. That stinks because I'm married. Like, don't just assume that whatever it says is 100% accurate. You want to run it through all these other filters as well. And that's why we have it last. You could do this as step two or step three or step six. But I really think that where you find truth is in the context of community. This is true with personality assessments, with strengths, with weaknesses. It's always good to kind of look at yourself soberly and then to make sure that you sort of run it through the filter of those who you know and trust, the wise men and women who are in your community who can speak about those things. So this is the link. It's one of the free spiritual gift assessments. Again, kind of take with caution and process with caution. Finally, I've been giving kind of three questions, but that's a lot every other day. So I wanted to just kind of streamline this and just give you one thing. And I realize I just gave you nine things, right? Like two slides ago was, here are the nine things you can do. But I just want you this weekend to do the next one, to start the process of the next one. Wherever you are in the process, if you're at four, do number five, start serving. If you're at six, do number seven. But continue to make progress through this checklist. If you are 100% certain about what your gifts are, you know you are an encourager and you have the gift of hospitality and generosity. Continue to ask Jesus to make more clear how you can utilize those gifts better, how you can exercise them more often, where opportunities may present themselves for your gifting to be realized. I'm really excited about this series, folks. I hope that these things are helpful. In the coming weeks, we're going to probably at some point get to where we start going through just a couple of the spiritual gifts individually and making sure that you have clear understanding of what those are. I won't be back on Monday, but I will be back on Tuesday. Starting next week, we'll be doing these on Tuesdays and Thursdays just to provide a little bit more space for you to process and a little bit more space for me also to process. So we'll be praying for you. We pray that these things that we're talking about take root, that they are challenging, but that they also help to encourage you, the body of Christ, to move into the things that Jesus has for you. Love you, folks. Be blessed and a blessing.